You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to this breaking news-ish episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from ThroughTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. On today's show, reacting to the Larry Nance extension news, I'm joined by Jeff Siegel. He's, of course, a writer at Through the Sword, Forbes, a bunch of other places, and he also runs his great site, EarlyBirdRights.com. Jeff, what's going on?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So this Larry Nance news comes in just under the wire for him to sign a rookie extension. First reported by Chris Haynes of Yahoo, it's a four-year, $44.8 million extension. There are, to my knowledge, and I believe you have this on your cap sheet as well, there are no team options. This is just a straight four-year deal, so this is a commitment for these 4 years, assuming they don't trade him. It is also an interesting contract setup, and that's actually kind of where I want to start. He will make the $2.27 this year. That's the last year of his rookie deal. Year one of his extension is $12.7. Then it goes to $11.7, then down to $10.7, and then down to $9.7, roughly. He'll have a cap hold of a little over $18 million in 2023-24. He'll be just, I believe, just under 30 at that point. Jeff, when you this is first reported by Joe Varden, the de-escalating nature of this extension. What do you make of the fact that Nance is getting that $12 million up front instead of it kind of escalating like it normally would?
I think it makes sense for both sides. I mean, it's always better for the player to have it de-escalate so that you get more money up front and you can use that money to invest in and use, you know, for whatever purposes that the player sees fit. And for the team in this particular circumstance, if they were, you know, if they wanted to extend him, then it makes sense to make it de-escalating from their perspective. It hurts them, of course, in 2019 cap space if they were trying to really get out there and try to sign somebody. But any sort of extension for Nance was going to harm their cap space. This takes off, you know, a couple million extra dollars on their 2019 space, but allows them to have some extra space down the road in 2021 and 2022 will be the 2 years off the top of my head that they'll have extra cap space if they do it this way versus if they do it the normal way where you escalate from lower values to higher values. So the latter 2 years, they'll have extra space. The front 2 years, they won't. You know, I think that sort of seems to make sense as Kevin Love sort of ages through his extension, as Colin Sexton ages through his rookie contract, is, you know, if they're trying to, you know, bring in key free agents in 2021 and 2022. You know, obviously it's a little bit tough to look forward to that by now. You know, right now it's hard to look that far forward, but that's sort of what they're going for by having this de-escalate over the next 4 years.
Yeah, and it looks like the Cavs are, they have, they've kind of at least teased this a little bit. It's out there. There's a video that was posted to the Cavs Twitter account 21 minutes ago as we record this. Transparency, it is October 15th at 6:55 p.m. to NPR timestamp this. So 21 minutes ago from this, there's a video that the Cavs put out. It looks like Larry Nance is speaking to some season ticket holders. There were not any there is not any necessarily any like release from the team yet or anything like that, but it's quote, "I'm one of you guys. I really am. I'm a Cleveland guy at heart." Larry Nance Jr. saying that with GM Kobe Altman. So this is there. And I think he's very happy to do this. He's one of the, I think, the few guys that really would seem to be someone who would like to leave LA to come to Cleveland. But let's look at this deal in terms of what it is. Larry Nance is 25. He's coming off his rookie deal. He is sort of what he is right now. He's high energy, runs the floor well, is a decent finisher, has that not a great foul rate. Can switch a little bit on defense. This is, my gut tells me that this deal, if he doesn't improve at all, if he is what he is the next 4 years, he will be fine, right? Like, he will be an okay player, and this will be a fair deal. But if he improves at all, and if he takes a leap at all, I think this deal looks a lot better, especially at the back end of it. When you look at him making under $10 million in 4 years from now, that's could be a bargain. I think that's even a good deal for the team at that point anyway, when you'd be getting into, you know, counts. Jetty will have a new contract on the books, and, you know, Kevin Love will be making $28 million that season, and Sexton will be a restricted free agent that summer, and Zizic'll have a new deal. Like, there'll be some expensive things coming up in that time. So I'm good with this. I think it's fair. I think it's good, even if he doesn't improve. But I think it becomes not a bargain, but a even better deal for the team if he does improve. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, certainly if he improves over the course of the contract, then he will, you know, then it just becomes more surplus value. I think if he stays where he is right now, which, you know, he's 25, you can project a little bit of extra growth, but not a ton of extra growth. I think this is, the surplus value on this contract is going to be minimal, I think. But the downside risk doesn't seem that high because, again, it de-escalates the fact that not just the numbers de-escalate, but the percentage of the cap that it takes up, because the numbers go down and the cap is going to go up. You know, we're looking at $109 million next year, and then these are sort of tough to project after that, but $118, $124, maybe even to $130 by the time the final year of that contract in 2022-23. If he's taking up $9.7 million out of $130 million cap, like, that's even better than what you think of it now. Whereas, you know, a $10 million deal this year is a lot different than a $10 million deal if the cap was $21 million, if there was $21 million extra dollars on the cap. So, you know, it's not just a good deal for them in that it goes down and that they can sort of plan for their cap space in the early part of next decade, but it'll take up an even smaller percentage of the cap. And if he, you know, if he is, you know, absolutely abhorrent, if he turns into some sort of unplayable player somehow, which seems very unlikely given his skill set, given his effort level, given what he brings to the table, it's not impossible to move off of a deal like that because, you know, there will be teams with that little amount of cap space at the end of summers who can take that space, that contract on. So it's going to be a movable contract pretty much no matter what. It's not going to provide them with a ton of surplus value. Like, if you sort of think of how much is he going to benefit the Cavs on top of what he's being paid, it's probably not a ton, but if you're not, you can't hit a home run on every contract. You can't hit a home run on every extension. You know, it hurts them a little bit in their 2019 cap space, but they're not going to have a ton of space, you know, anyway, especially if they, you know, want to bring back a guy like Rodney Hood or Sam Decker, who might be a restricted free agent, or they want to keep around one of their non-guaranteed guys, and George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver. If any one of those guys are going to remain on the roster, then they're probably not going to have a ton of cap space anyway, if any. So, you know, I don't think the 2019 space, the fact that they sort of hurt themselves in 2019, is really that big a deal. And then, you know, we'll see how Nance develops over the next couple of years, you know, especially being on a team that's very different than it was when he arrived. You know, obviously there's, you know, no LeBron James. How does he fit in with the new world order of Colin Sexton and Kevin Love? How will he fit into next year when they have another, you know, perhaps another first round draft pick in the top 10? You know, it's going to be, his role may change over the next few years, but I think the value seems just about right to me.
We're going to keep talking about Nance, but we're going to hear real quick from today's sponsor, and that is Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, the listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. And Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite events live, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience. And today, with the promo code LOCKEDON, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more if they are a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. So go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON, that is LOCKEDON, and receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. We all love a night out. We all love the going to see Cavs games, going to see concerts. So use Vivid Seats. Get $20 off your order of $200 or more as a first-time customer, and go to use the promo code LOCKED. On. That's Locked On, just like Locked On Cavs. If you want to go see the Cavs, use Vivid Seats, buy some good tickets, get $20 back with that promo code Locked On. So, Jeff, the one thing I don't quite know yet, and I have to think about this a little bit more, and we're going to sort of do that live here, is, does this make Larry Nance a part of the foundation going forward? I would posit yes, because if you look at who's signed for the future, Kevin Love is obviously through 2023. It is theoretically possible he could be tradable. We'll see if that's the case. You know, guys like Tristan Thompson, only through next season. Jordan Clarkson, only through next season. Sexton, Osman, Zizic, especially if they progress well, those guys become much more valuable. They become much more integral to the team's future, and the Cavs will have inside options in keeping them. You look at Sexton, they can control him, you know, at least through 2023. Jetty has this year and next year before he hits restricted free agency, and then they'd have the right to match any type of deal that he could theoretically get in the market. And his, I don't know, it's way too early to know what he'll get paid, but it seems likely they will have a very good chance of keeping him. I mean, I think the real key to this sort of working and taking up the space that it will is I think Nance does have to improve. Again, I do not think this is a bad deal. But if he's going to be like a key part of the teams going forward, a key foundation block for the next really good Cavs team that it could include a lottery pick next year, you know, Sexton developing, Awesome developing, what have you, he does, I think, need to get better at some stuff. Because I don't know if he right now projects as a guy who's like the third or fourth best guy in a good team, probably like maybe sixth, but I think he could get to three or four if he hits the right the benchmarks. And I think four in the East on a team that just kind of is sort of Indiana-esque, which I think the Cavs are probably going to have are trying to follow, I think that's doable. But it's going to require, I think, somewhat of a leap year for him in this last year of his rookie deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a pretty massive leap if he was the fourth best player on a contending team, on like a playoff level team. And if he gets to that level, then, you know, 12.7, 11.7, 10.7, whenever he makes that leap, then that this deal becomes an absolute bargain. You know, those kind of players get paid way more than that. Not quite double, but I mean, you're looking at a player, if he's the fourth best player on a good team, that means he probably deserves $18, $20 million a year. I mean, that's the kind of player you're talking about there. I don't see him making that sort of leap. I just don't. I don't think he has enough. He's got too many different things that are sort of not wrong, but just aren't at the requisite level to be the fourth best player on a good team. If he's the sixth man, if he's the first big off the bench on a playoff team, then this deal makes sense. And I think he's already sort of at the level that he needs to be at to earn that contract. It's really, if he never takes another step forward, he's fine. This contract won't provide a bunch of surplus value, but it won't be a gross overpay either. If he takes a step forward, then obviously that makes it a good deal for the Cavs. If he takes a step backwards, then that's, you know, it makes it a more difficult deal to move potentially on a trade market, or just doesn't provide that the requisite value. But I don't see Nance taking too big a step forward, too big a step backwards. He sort of is what he is as an energy big man who can run in transition, is a little more fleet of foot than a lot of guys, but isn't, you know, doesn't have the rim protection girth that some guys do have as a you know, full-time center, as a full-time rim protector. You know, he's a nice, you know, bench piece, and I think he's getting paid like that.
He did put on a little bit of muscle this summer. I'm curious to see how he does hold up. He's dealing with an ankle injury right now. Didn't see a ton of him in the preseason, so that's going to be kind of an interesting thing for us to watch with him going forward. Jeff, we'll kind of go on this. What do you grade this deal for? Let's go with player and team. I don't like thinking of these things just in terms of a team only thing. So let's give this as a grade for Nance right now, and then and a grade for the Cavs. What do you have these at?
I mean, for Nance, it's got to be a B plus. I mean, it's possible that he thinks he can take a step forward, but for a guy who was a late first round draft pick who, you know, is only going to make $2.2 million in his fourth year and probably has made maybe $8 million in his whole career, like, this is a substantial amount of money. And obviously his father was an NBA player, so it's not like he, you know, came from a lot of the same circumstances as we see for where this would literally be, you know, massive life-changing money for him. You know, but it's, you know, it's $45 million is a lot of money for anybody. And so, you know, to lock that in when he's only made about $8 million in his career, maybe $7 to $8 million total, locking in, you know, $45 million, he's going to get that no matter what. And so I think that, you know, from his perspective, it's got to be a B-plus deal, maybe an A-minus if you factor in the fact that he gets to play in Cleveland, he gets to wear his dad's number in his dad's old stomping grounds. There's the emotional connection that you talked about there, where he really feels like he's been a part of the Cavaliers family for more than just the last, 8 months since he got traded there last February. He's really, he grew up as part of the Cavs organization with his father and everything. So, I think that's a bigger part of it for him. Maybe that's why this deal, maybe he didn't push for $48 million or $50 million or something like that, where he, might have tried to push with a different team, with the Lakers, perhaps. I think, for him, it's got to be a B-plus, A-minus. And for the Cavaliers, it's, maybe a C-plus. He's going to provide that value. I think there's a larger chance that he takes a step forward than he takes a step backward. So maybe it's a C-plus from that perspective. But I think it's just, it's pretty much just a fine deal. Like, he's worth the money they're paying him, and it's a relatively small chance that he moves significantly in either direction for me.
I'm a little bit optimistic he will at least do something better. I don't know what that is, and that sort of is where I think for the team this is a B. For him, I think it's a B plus, because if I'm a little surprised he didn't get 12 a year or something like that. I think this is a little bit lower than what I was expecting. So I think for the team sense, that's why I think it's just fine too. I'd probably bump it up to B just because of that. For him, I probably would have liked to maybe get a little bit more. But I also think this secures him. This kind of gives him a home. I think this is an organization that is very happy to have him around, and I think that sort of counters him, and he seems pretty happy to be around. We'll see what they say. We'll see when they officially announce this, in terms of a press release and stuff like that. And we'll kind of see how he improves. We'll see how he looks when he gets back from this ankle injury. Because again, we don't know a lot about where he's at right now. But you can find Jeff on Twitter at JG Siegel. Jeff, you just tell people real quick that you just expanded early bird rights. Just give everyone an idea of all the crazy amount of work you put in, and what people they can go find there now.
You can find, if you're interested in salary cap stuff, and now we've sort of expanded into the scouting world over at earlybirdrights.com. If you're interested, I have over 440 different scouting reports on different players throughout the NBA, pretty much at least the top 14 or 15 guys on every team. I'm working on getting the two-way guys in there. I'm working on getting some of the guys who just signed. Jamal Crawford would be an example of this. He was not in my original database because he didn't have a contract. Now he does, so I'm still working through his scouting report. But it's basically each guy is graded from 1 to 25 in 28 different skills, from motor to vertical explosiveness to decision-making to, offensive playmaking and stuff like that. So it's just 28 different skills that I've identified that sort of make or break an NBA player. And then you can choose whether you want this guy to play, what position you want him to play, and what offensive role you'd like him to play. And then it highlights different skills based on what you chose, and sort of shows you, the skills from top to bottom. Like, we talk about a guy like Larry Nance. I graded him on how he is as a pick and roll ball handler, but that doesn't matter for the role that he plays for the Cavaliers. So when you put in that he is a big man who vertically spaces the floor, that particular attribute doesn't highlight. It highlights when he's a pick and roll big. It highlights his offensive rebounding, his defensive rebounding, his post defense, stuff like that. So if you're interested in stuff like that, then you can find all of that information over at Early Bird Rights. As well, you can find all the salary cap information for Nance's extension and all 30 teams throughout the NBA, up to date, within seconds of a transaction being posted. I've got everything in there, and so. If you're a hardcore NBA nerd, this is sort of the place for you. If you don't really care whether Larry Nance got an escalating or de-escalating contract, then maybe this isn't quite your speed. You may find this a little bit too much information. But if you really love the league and you're really interested in all the minute details of how guys get graded on their contracts and how guys get graded on the floor, this is Early Bird Rights is the place for you.
Go check that out. Jeff's going to be writing for us. If you're the sword this season, I'm incredibly happy to have him back writing for us. So, Jeff, thank you so much. And I think people will learn a lot from going over there and checking out everything you did over there, because it's very, very comprehensive.
Thanks for having me.
So find Locked On Cavs on Twitter at Locked On Cavs, me on Twitter at CWM Rights. We'll be back in your feeds if you're listening to this Monday night, tomorrow morning. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, there is another pod in your feeds. part one of a two-part crossover episode, one on Lockdown Cavs, the other half on the Chase Down with Carter Rodriguez and Justin Arroyo, my Fear the Sword brethren, so check that out. Basketball is almost here for real. We're going to get to see the long-awaited duel between Jetty Osmond and Kawhi Leonard this week, because I know everyone's been very amped about that, and it's going to be a fun week. It's good to be back. Cavs take care of some last-minute business, though, with the Larry Nance extension. 4 years, $44.8 million. First reported by Chris Haynes of Yahoo. Heard all about it here today. Read about it through the source. Thanks for listening.